Rob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 11, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, coming up on today's show, the Goth Ninjas are here for Three-Way Thursday. Jody Hamilton from the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Yes, she is now an official member of all that. And, of course, T-Rex David Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Julian Assange was arrested in London, finally. And just don't forget this.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Yes, he loves WikiLeaks. Just bear that in mind. Just keep that in the back of your head. Plus, Bill Barr and Steve Mnuchin are jerks from the Jerk Store. That's the best I can do on a Thursday. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Congressman Massey is an idiot, too, and so is Candace Owens. We're going to explain all that coming up here in a second. We got music by well-known strangers and St. Marlboro today, too. But first, let's talk about my favorite sheets in the world, our Brooklinen sheets. Kimberly and I love our classic hardcore sheet bundle in white, the whitest sheets. It's our bed sheets, our duvet cover, our pillowcases, cool and crisp. They've got that hotel bed feel. They've got a breathable 270 thread count, recommended for hot sleepers like Kimberly A. Johnson. Plus, they're in the classic matte finish. Oh my God, every time those sheets come out of the wash and we stick them on the bed, we can't wait to go to sleep and do things. Other things that you do in bed, like reading, you know. Over the course of our lives, we spend about a third of our time in bed, so shouldn't we sleep on a five-star hotel-quality set of sheets all the time? But sheets like that are expensive and hard for the average person to get, or at least they were before Brooklinen.com. We decided to upgrade, and we love our Brooklinen sheets. The difference is amazing. These sheets are soft while you sleep, and it's not just us. A 500,000 people now sleep in luxury they can afford, all because Brooklinen cut out the middlemen and made ordering easy. Good housekeeping, named Brooklinen.com, the best of online bedding, and they were the first in the business. Since then, Brooklinen.com's gotten over 30,000 five-star reviews. I thought that was a typo. 30,000 five-star reviews, more than any other bedding company. Brooklinen sheets come in more than 25 colors and patterns, and it's easy to mix and match. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for you. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code BOBC at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen's so confident you'll love your new sheets, comforters, and towels. They come with a lifetime warranty, but the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code BOBC at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code BOBC. Brooklinen, they really are the bestest sheets ever. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Wait, shh. I should be careful. Kyle's here and I think he might work for the NSA. What the hell are you doing? Kyle, if you wouldn't mind, this broadcast is for my shitter followers only. What shitter? Don't know if you've heard, but the government is actually able to monitor all our emails and Twitter accounts. With Shitter, I don't even need a cell phone. My thoughts are sent directly to the internet and then to everyone else on Shitter. Wow. Yes, now I can reach all my Shitter followers and tell them where my rallies are without the government listening in.
You're okay with everything you think going up on the internet?
Yeah, because the government won't respect my privacy.
How many people are on Shitter?
Just two so far. Me and Alec Baldwin.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, I guess we should start the show, huh? Let's start talking. This is the Trump crisis day 812, 572 days into the 2020 presidential election. We got music from well-known strangers, and we have music from St. Marlboro today, Chicago's own St. Marlboro, from their Oh Friend album. Oh, and before we say anything more, it's time. It's that time of the week. I love Three-Way Thursday because we get to do this. It is the Goth Ninjas, Jody Hamilton, T-Rex, David Ferguson. They're both here today. Hi, guys. Goth
hey.
Ninjas.
Hello.
There we
Good
are.
Good to be here.
All right. So many things to get to today.
I really need you to send me that as so I can make it a ringtone.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. And you know what? I was thinking about making
it. Some of your new listeners may not understand the combination of sounds they're hearing. You may want to break it down for them.
Yeah, well, first we have the T-Rex sound from Jurassic Park for obvious yes. reasons. And then combined with that is Jody Hamilton.
The sound that Jody made.
Reacting to the reacting to me name-dropping Maggie Haberman, and she had a mouthful of tab, and she just went... so that's in there, too. So it's a T-Rex from Jurassic Park. It's this. And it's also Walter. Walter the dog. Yeah, Walter the dog in there, too. Plus the Avengers theme, because the goth ninjas have assembled here on the show. And that's why I made that silly thing. And also this.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Donald Trump loves WikiLeaks. But now the federal government that he is in charge of is prosecuting Julian Assange. How about that? Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy. I just, it's this whole time I've been imagining him as like, they're like the Ecuadorian embassy's obnoxious nephew who's like moved in upstairs and is like using, is just sitting up there playing Xbox and like hanging out on 4chan. Yeah. And they can't get rid of him. And he like pitches tantrums and trashes his room and it's like, you're not my real dad to the ambassador, you know?
You know what it is? It's like a wacky 80s Richard Pryor movie where you expect like Richard Pryor to get hired to like manage Julian Assange up there. And then Julian Assange is getting all kinds of trouble. And Richard Pryor has to dash around and get into hijinks to try to, you know, clean up after Julian's cats and so on. You know, I just see that.
Yeah, apparently his cats were peeing on the rug.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Ew.
Which, of course, is the worst smell in the world.
I'm a cat owner, and I'm really, like, I'm militant about that. You've got to keep the boxes clean.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go outside if they want to go out, because once that smell is in your house, it will not go away.
I mean, no.
The first few attacks you can handle with some club soda and baking soda and Jolie Care. Do you guys know who she is? Mm-mm. Can I just plug one of my favorite bloggers?
Sure.
Jolie, J-O-L-I-E, I think, K-E-R-R. She wrote a book called My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. and it's like ways to clean things. Like just the other day, a friend of mine who's a follower of the show, whose name I won't mention, was asking how to get some, you know, fluids off his keyboard. And
Wait a minute. What? I hope we're talking about like just cat pee or something like that, right?
No, he was very direct. He was talking about ejaculate.
Oh my God!
Hey, look.
WikiLeaks. No. I love WikiLeaks. No.
What?
You're gonna pretend you've never done it at the computer?
Well, I haven't gotten any in. Why is this too much information suddenly?
Well, anyway, I added.
I haven't gotten any in my.
Added Jolie Care, and she immediately. She's like, "Hang on, I'm standing on a train platform. Once I've got my glass of Amtrak wine, I will have your answer." And she, like, you know, 15 minutes later, there she was with pointing to a column, about where she explained that what you needed was compressed air and rubbing alcohol and a soft cloth.
Oh and, God. That's
what the point of her book is. It's like things you can't ask Martha Stewart. Like
okay.
Things you don't. You're like, I got bong water on my nice sheets. What happens
well,
now?
Well, okay, now you that know? Makes sense. But I mean,
well,
if you're
totally
you
sense.
Have got to follow her on Twitter. I mean, I can't. I've been begging her to please come on my podcast, and she hasn't yet. And I feel like I'm stalking her. But
well, I don't even want
to hang out with Jen in August. She's coming to play the 40 Watt.
Oh, that's so cool. What did you mean, Jen Kirkman?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Beautiful. Yeah, our favorite comedian, Jen Kirkman.
Cumberbatch's going to open for her.
No way. Are you serious? Yep. Cumberbatch gets open for Jen Kirkman. That's amazing.
The fabulous four. It may just be me and Steve, you know, on the guitar playing that you're not a bad boy, you're just a bad person song that we do. And,
You got to make sure to have your Gen X flag flying for that show, because Jen's all about the Gen X. See, now she's missing. She should call her next stand-up special Gen X, J-E-N, and then X.
My God,
see,
I mean, stage
always thinking,
always
coming
thinking
up.
There.
I'm idea man.
Smart
Thank you very
guy.
Much. Yes, I know.
If she doesn't use that, I'm stealing it for a character in a novel.
I'm basing
on Courtney Love, who I was going to call Lita X, Lita in the Swan. I was going to write a whole novel about my nightmare Lollapalooza adventure called Died Pretty, D-Y-E-D.
Oh, I see.
That's the name of Courtney's band, mm-hmm. the book. dark. Wait,
you can get all of Jen Kirkman's tour dates, by the way, at jenkirkman.com. And,
yeah, she's the important party here.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, nevertheless, so Julian Assange was not, let's make this perfectly clear, Julian Assange was not arrested because of the leaks of the Chelsea Manning documents. Julian Assange was arrested, indicted because of hacking.
Exactly. Into government information. Yeah. That was the
Which
problem.
Which government, Jody?
Ours,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, but it was British police arresting him, not Interpol?
No, British police arrested him, and they're dealing with his extradition on our behalf to send him back here to the Eastern District of Virginia.
WikiLeaks! I love WikiLeaks!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kills me that you're like a West Coast person from a Hollywood family, so to speak, and you've got a better grasp on what's happening in the Eastern Seaboard legal system. I mean, you know, like, you're supposed to be this California, like, Valley girl, and you're like, and then you're under Provision 17, Section B of the Legal Code of the Southern District of Virginia. It's just like, damn, Jody, okay, I need to study harder before I come on the show.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, there's no reason why anyone should misinterpret why Julian Assange was arrested here, because we have the indicting document. I mean, it was unsealed. We can read it. We can read why. But I think the confusion is coming in because the first part of it sets up the general allegations, set up the relationship between Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange. And then it gets to the first count, which you discover is all about hacking. It's about the process of Julian Assange aiding Chelsea Manning to break into a government computer and acquire all of this information. So let's not be dumb about this. And I know that guys like Glenn Greenwald love to find those little semantic loopholes, those rhetorical loopholes. Mm-hmm. And then he goes in and does the Lord of the Dance in that loophole. I mean, it's so he's able to stretch that thing out and just absolutely exploit whatever little teeny tiny speck of whatever he's got. But, you know, and speaking of Jen Kirkman, she is swatting down all of the trolls today, the Assange trolls in her Twitter feed.
She's
too.
She's like my Wonder Woman right now. I mean, obviously, Jody's my Batgirl.
Yeah. But
like, I have an outfit.
I knew you would. I Very knew you cool. would.
The original from like from the 1966.
Full on Yvonne Craig, baby.
Oh
I got that. And I also
okay.
have.
All right.
I also have my Eartha Kitt Catwoman. So, yeah, I've got all
Are
of
you?
It.
That is too fucking cool. I had no idea. That's
I'll
awesome.
I'll send you pictures.
You're going to have to do the show from now on wearing those costumes.
Okay.
What are you going to say, T-Rex?
Who says she hasn't?
That's true.
All right. Well, good.
Very
Good. That's the yeah.
Oh yes.
We definitely need that too. So, okay. So, I mean, speaking of Jody, and this is just some show business that I forgot to mention at the top of the show, which is that From the Bunker is now going to be part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, which is gigantic, Woo-hoo! Huge. So you're having fun dealing with all of the back end things that go along with that, right? All the
I mean, I'm dealing with some tech stuff, and we'll see. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they have my show. It's up there. You can go and download it. But then we're trying to direct all the traffic to that, so that then they can figure out how many people are listening and downloading. And so that's what we're trying to do. And it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just not a sexy liberal. I'm just not sexy liberal pocket. You know.
Well, you're you know what? Your planetoid is just joining the orbit now. So I mean, maybe
it's true. I admit, like this last week, I have not put up a new book chapter. I've not put up a new interview because I've been starting a new job, and it's been what you starting a new job of any kind, just kind of like it's like your hard drive got hit by lightning or something. Like,
yeah,
you have to learn a whole bunch of names, a whole bunch of procedures, but you know,
yeah,
it's fun. But like, and then I've got a chapter written. I just need to record it. I'll have it up by Friday. Swear to God.
Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about your new job on the Postmortem show, because there's a bit of an observation that I want to make about it and why you have to take this new job. And so we want to talk about that on the Postmortem show. A very poignant thing to say. Well, it's not so poignant, but it is somewhat linked to why this is all happening. But they got Julian Assange, and so that's going to be a whole new thing. And it also raises the question in terms of how many sealed indictments there still are hanging around out there. Now, granted, we knew that Julian Assange, something's going to happen to Julian Assange for a couple of weeks now, because members of the press have been staking out the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and there have been reports of law enforcement circling the place, and then finally in the morning hours, they went and arrested him, and it turns out he looked like that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns opens a casino, and he kind of turns into a Howard Hughes type character.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes nuts, and he's going around. He's got long fingernails, and he's got a long beard, and his hair is grown long, and he's wearing tissue boxes on his feet. And so finally he says, well, I've got the scene right here.
Now, to the plant. We'll take the spruce moose. Hop in.
But sir.
I said hop in.
Because it's a model. He's got a little model airplane. And he orders Smithers to get into the model airplane at gunpoint. It's just such a classic scene. So Julian Assange basically has become Howard Hughes and was dragged out of there. And no word yet about the jars of urine in the Ecuadorian embassy. But I imagine it's not human urine.
Somebody that's not
it's cat piss.
It's cat urine. Even cat urine, jars of cat urine, and I don't know how he harvests his jars of cat urine. It's got to be challenging. I mean, but he's got all kinds of free time,
They're specially trained Russian cats.
Yeah, like
like the Russian prostitutes that work in the embassy. They can pee on command and are not at the embassy, at the hotel by the embassy.
Yeah, the Ecuadorians are like, what's all that thumping around up there? And it's actually Julian Assange chasing his cats with like open, empty mason jars. Like, come on! Come on, just in the jar. Once in the jar.
Just once.
No,
just
once. So it's gonna be once in the jar.
That's right.
I've really been trying to work on my Aussie accent. They're really hard. And there was this friend of mine, that Aussie Cowboy Ken, we called him, who lived with a friend of mine. And he had a 4-foot bong. And he would take these giant bong rips and be like, I don't know, man. I can't get mitivated.
Yeah,
mitivated.
Mitivated. Yeah. All you got to do is describe wildlife. And then you can ease into the Australian accent because
crocodile.
Of Steve Irwin, right? Crikey.
Oh, God.
Yeah. See, you think Julian?
It's kind of sad. I mean, the guy spent his life antagonizing animals, and one of them finally had enough and stabbed him right through the heart.
You're talking about Steve Irwin and not Julian Assange. Okay, I got you.
No, I just, I don't know.
Can you imagine Julian Assange running around the Ecuadorian embassy, treating his cats as if they're wildlife? They're like crocodiles, and he's got to
Russian call girl cats. It's the only thing that makes sense.
He tackles the cats down and holds their mouth shut. Crikey, look at this baby. This is a beauty. And this
pee in a jar, Svitlana.
This is my cat Mittens. And boy, it's a beauty. Look at it trying to scratch my eyes out. God.
New listeners are like, what's happening?
he won't even pee into my jar. Damn it.
Now you're sort of turning into the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
That's very easy to do. It's a very easy thing to do.
And a lovely thing she is, too.
Well, the documentation right now of the sheer number of stupid people. I mean, we have a phenomenal number of stupid people in this country, and many of them are members of the United States Congress. And included in that list of idiots in the United States Congress is someone named Thomas Massie from the great state of Kentucky. Or is Kentucky a commonwealth? I always forget. I think Kentucky's a commonwealth. I'm not sure exactly. But nevertheless,
I think it's so inbred that it's more like, instead of a family tree, it's kind of a wreath. It's just Kentucky is not quite a state, not yet a commonwealth, like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. Yeah, it is a commonwealth. Kentucky is, in fact, a commonwealth. Mm-hmm. So I was right to say commonwealth. Okay, so Thomas Massie was questioning John Kerry yesterday about the climate crisis, and it was maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. See if you can unwrap what the fuck is going on, what Massie is talking about with regard to John Kerry's political science degree here.
Secretary Kerry, I want to read part of your statement back to you. Instead of convening a kangaroo court, the president might want to talk with the educated adults he once trusted to fill his top national security positions. It sounds like you're questioning the credentials of the president's advisors currently, but I don't think we should.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a shocker? I mean, I can't imagine why anyone would want to question Trump's
Seth
advisors.
Mnuchin, or
good
Ivanka.
God, yeah.
Question your credentials today. Isn't it true you have a science degree from Yale? What's that?
Bachelor of Arts degree.
Is it a political science degree?
Yes, political science.
So how do you get a Bachelor of Arts in a science?
Oh,
well, it's liberal arts.
What?
Okay.
What?
All right, I'm going to stop right there. Now,
okay, that is mind-bendingly. I think I just had a small stroke.
Yeah, Massey thinks that John Kerry's political science degree is literally a science degree.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally, this is like biology or chemistry. And then he goes on to refer to it as pseudoscience, which, first of all, it's not technically science at all. This is a political science, the science part of political science, as a political science major myself, is more of a term of art than of, a literal description of what we're actually studying in that program. So
this is genuinely hurting my brain.
This is remarkably dumb. Let's just backtrack a couple of seconds here and continue on with this.
Oh,
because
no, you're going to make us hear it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even gotten to some of the best parts yet.
From Yale. What's that?
Bachelor of Arts degree.
Is it a political science degree?
Yes, political science.
So how do you get Bachelor of Arts in a science?
How do you get Bachelor of Arts in science?
Oh my God.
That's what he says.
Can we just ask if it's Massey on Wikipedia? Did he go to college or is he just like a used car salesman?
You know, Massey is a member of an elite club of Americans, 535 Americans out of almost 320 million Americans. He gets to be part of this club of 535 Americans who get to make laws to control us all. And he is this colossally dumb.
You have to wonder, like, are they acting stupid or are they like really this stupid? Because some of them I feel like act stupider than they are because that's what the base likes and that's what they know that Trump wants.
Well,
this seems to be a case of genuine, like, mama dropped him on his head after drinking all through her pregnancy.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory about this. I want to play through the rest of it here and then I want to come back with my theory about what he may have been trying to say. Although I think the most accurate assessment is that he's just a moron. He is just a nincompoop. He is an ignoramus of the highest order. Let's continue here.
Arts, education, and degree. It's a bachelor.
Okay, so it's not really science. So I think it's somewhat appropriate that somebody with a pseudoscience degree is pushing pseudoscience in front of our committee today. I want to ask you...
He paused for the laughter that never actually happened.
Are you serious? I mean, this is really serious happening here.
You know what? It is serious. You're calling the president's cabinet a kangaroo court. Is that serious?
I'm not calling cabinet a kangaroo court. I'm calling this committee that he's putting together a kangaroo committee.
What are you saying that he doesn't have educated adults there now?
I don't know who it has yet because it's secret.
Well, you said it in your testimony.
Why would he have to have a secret analysis of climate change?
Let me ask
why
you.
Does the president
let's get
need
back
to keep
to the
it
science
secret.
Of it. Let's get back to the science of it. Look.
Wow.
Let me ask you this. What's the consensus on parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere?
About 406, 406 today.
Okay, 406. Are you aware
350 being the level that scientists have said is danger.
Okay, are you aware? 350 is dangerous. Wow. Are you aware that since mammals have walked the planet, the average has been over 1,000 parts per million?
Yeah, but we weren't walking the planet. Let me just share with you that we now know that definitively at no point during the least the past 800,000 years has atmospheric CO2 been as high as it is today.
Oh, God.
When I was in McMurdo, we couldn't get to the South Pole because of the weather, but I was given a vial of air which said on it, cleanest air in the world. It was 401.6 parts per million. Hmm. That is 50 parts per million already over what scientists say.
The reason you chose 800,000 years ago is because for 200 million years before that, it was greater than it is today. And I'm going to submit for the record.
Yeah, but there weren't human beings. I mean, there was a different world, folks. We didn't have 7 billion people.
So how did it get to 2,000 parts per million if we humans weren't here?
Because there were all kinds of geologic events happening on Earth which spewed
up. Did geology stop when we got on the planet?
Jesus is coming.
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Is coming. He's in discussion in a second, isn't he?
This is just not a serious conversation.
Your testimony is not serious. All right, I agree.
We'll stop right there. And of course, the entire hearing room is like, is with John Kerry. Like, what the hell is Massey saying here? And what Massey is doing, of course, is quite obvious. What he's doing is he's suggesting that the climate of the Earth and all of the conditions of the planet have basically remained the same for the last 200 million years. And there's no reason why, you know, with massive volcanic activity or a gigantic meteor that crashed into the planet, creating a greenhouse effect within that 200 million years, causing the numbers to be skewed because of, well, the gigantic drapage of soot and Earth surrounding the planet in the atmosphere that wiped out the dinosaurs. I mean, there's that. There's all kinds of other things, geological events. But now, for the first time ever, human beings are doing it. We are doing it. We are creating this crisis.
You know, what drives me nuts about these guys is they think that they are the party of manliness and masculinity and traditional values and everything. But every time one of these guys gets angry, he turns into SpongeBob. Have you noticed? It's just like, well, you're not a scientist. You're not the Barge Vermillion. And it's like, dude. You know, it's just their voices shoot. It's like Tucker Carlson's the same way. It's like they just.
Yeah. And he was like, I mean, Massey was like every troll that you will ever encounter on Twitter. And John Kerry is every liberal you will encounter on Twitter, like going, I don't know what you're saying here, sir, but this is insane. And here are the facts. And they're like, no, we don't buy your facts. We don't like your facts. Here's what my facts say about your facts. And I'm like, oh God, we're in this never ending loop now. And so that's
the rotten thing is, though, is that if you were actually listening to your gut about any of these people, you look at Donald Trump and you know this is not a trustworthy person.
Mm-hmm.
Just because on the whole issue of the hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a person in touch with reality, that he is a 70-something-year-old man who has that hair. So, like, your gut tells you, do not trust this person.
That's right. There's something wrong with his judgment. If he walks out of the house every day and looks at that hair in the mirror on his way out and goes, it's okay.
I look fantastic.
My suits fit perfectly. My tie is not too long. I don't have to wear makeup to cover up my great jeans. You know, it's like these are things that he is completely off base about, and we need to question his judgment based on even those superficial things too. But you know, the thing that that Massey maybe was trying to do and wasn't smart enough to pull it off. And this is, of course, if the roles were reversed, and if I was Massey, I would make the argument that John Kerry's political science degree is not an actual science degree, so why is he talking about science? And then the response could very easily be, well, Congressman Massey, you don't have a science degree either, so why the hell are you asking me about science? You know, so it's that line of reasoning in and of itself, even if he was smart enough to go down that road, is a non-starter because the response is so obvious. What the, you know, you accuse someone of not being a scientist, you better fucking be a scientist yourself. You know what I mean? And so that might have been the thing, but I tend to believe that it was just him being a dumb guy, just him not even really knowing. And you know, we found out this week, where is this story here?
Under the mattress.
Yeah.
In the refrigerator.
It's in the refrigerator with Kimberly waiting for you.
Yes, I know. But you know, here's the thing.
You guys are never going to live that down.
Never, ever, ever. It was like one of the biggest fuck ups of my entire career, saying, blurting that out. Because it's not even a cool thing. It's not like, badass, Bob and Kimberly are in the refrigerator having sex.
And it's my ongoing question, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, even though we're not on the after show.
Okay.
Because I'm just, was it like, were you both facing the same way so you could eat? Was it like from behind so that you both could like choose snacks as you were, you know, making love?
I imagine it, having not ever done that for real. I mean, this is an urban legend.
I started it. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry to reveal the sex behind the curtain or the sex in the
room. Okay, lady Russian bot. Putting out misinformation. I had genuinely believed this. I mean, I was like actually going to like tread very lightly around the refrigerator when I visited Bob and Kimberly, just, you know, checking the surfaces to make sure you're not mysteriously sticky or...
Well,
mysteriously sticky.
I mean, here's what's so humorous about it from a real insider point of view. Knowing what's in our refrigerator, it's ludicrous that we would be able to fit our bodies into that refrigerator enough to have sex. And considering that I'm 6 foot four and Kimberly is 6 feet tall. And so that's like, that's like 12 feet, 4 inches of human being stacked end to end.
I just fitting into our refrigerator. 9.5 weeks.
Well, yeah. See, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, when people say, "Oh, Bob, do you and Kimberly have sex in the refrigerator?" What I envision in my head, in my own fantasy, is that we're having sex in the kitchen and we knock the refrigerator open and we do like the Fatal Attraction thing where they turn the faucet on and they're putting water on each other and we're smearing mustard and condiments and emptying out bags of coffee on each other's heads.
Oh, no, and, yeah. I was much more picturing kind of a sleepy 3 a.m. like both of you ending up there at the same time hungry and like, oh, while we're here,
it's that too. I don't know.
Here, just if you'll just like, Bob, if you could stay. Oh, there you
perfect.
Try this cheesecake.
Well, it's funny, you know, we never eat out, we never go out to dinner, so we always have a
I'm influencing over the plate. Well, I'm not even gonna say it.
We let's just put
poor
it this
Kimberly never eating out. Someone, you're falling down on the job, Bob.
Well, here's literally the problem, that if someone were actually to look into our refrigerator, they would think that we had a pet gorilla or something, because there is so much food there. It's just like giant stacks of greens, and it really looks like we're keeping like Coco the gorilla, the sign language gorilla, in our house. And like, people would open the refrigerator and go, "Oh, Bob, Kimberly, where's your gorilla today? Is Coco here?" And it was like, no, that's just us. That's just how we shop. So anyway, back to seriousness here.
Was that?
I don't know. It was on Tuesday's show, I think. So if we rewind, get Buzz back in here. Get back to seriousness.
It was pretty, listening to Tuesday's show, I feel like I should mention, like, Buzz has like reached the proper level of alarm now.
Yeah.
That I see as the proper level of alarm.
Yeah.
And to me, the most disturbing thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks is the decapitation of Homeland Security and the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. And I think
those people wanted to follow the law, and that's why he fired them. This makes me very nervous in terms of like individual civil liberties in the country, and just, I don't know.
Well, it should make you really nervous about the election coming up too, because DHS is also tasked with securing the election. It's basically NSA and DHS that have to deal with, the FBI to a certain extent have to deal with all of that. But DHS is all part of that. And so weakening DHS in advance of a presidential election, in which we know the Russians are going to be engaging in all of their usual active measures that we saw in 2016, a little bit in 2018, is just what Donald Trump is doing. He's basically giving Russia the keys to the kingdom. He's basically saying, here, do what you want. And by the way, Saudi Arabia, China, they can do some things too. North Korea, you've been hacked. I mean, when Donald Trump was meeting with Kim Jong-un in Vietnam, North Korea hacked at least 100 American corporations in this country. I mean, my God. But I mean, here's the thing that's hiding in plain view in all of this, is that Bill Barr memo from, and now I'm calling him Bill Maher.
The Bill Maher memo would have been much better.
Yeah, the Bill Maher memo was so much more entertaining. Funnier.
They would have told us all to get over it because we're being too sensitive liberals. I'm done with him right now.
Yeah, yeah, it would have been three words. Okay, here's my memo. Get over it. Signed, Bill Maher. But Bill Barr.
There you go.
Oh, the thing about that memo is the very first section confirmed what the intelligence community has repeatedly said, what the Obama administration repeatedly said, which is that Russia attacked our election to help Donald Trump win. That is in the Barr memo, for God's sake.
Yes.
Which means that it's also in the Mueller report. And the thing that's hiding in plain view is the fact that despite all of that, Donald Trump still isn't doing a goddamn thing to secure the nation against attacks like that. And, you know, Glenn Greenwald will say, well, you know, we do that thing to other countries, so why should we defend ourselves? I mean, that seems to be his reasoning. Like, we've interfered with Honduras before. We've altered their elections because of X, Y, and Z. So, you know, and the
this was like the problem with the unionization effort back at my previous job that I won't mention or the name of, because we were trying to like improve conditions, the people who were trying to unionize, and it was kind of a generational thing. And like the baby boomer or baby boomers on staff are like, well, when we, you know, when we did it, rah, 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 then, you know, like we were, took half the pay of a senior and we were happy about it. Rah, rah, you know, yeah. Just like replicating the mistakes of the past is not why we're here.
Nope.
Right.
We are here to make progress. That's why we are progressives.
But I mean, it seems to me though, that this particular bit of information and the fact that Donald Trump refuses to act upon it, isn't that an impeachable offense? I mean, don't you think,
Yeah. Oh God. How many? Third on the pile.
Yeah.
I mean, he's committed so many impeachable offenses at this point that it's like firewood. He's just keep stacking.
Yeah.
The other day I actually had kind of a spiraling moment.
Oh yeah.
So I'm a caterer now. I worked this wedding on Saturday night, and I went from like not doing an 8-hour shift of anything for more than a year to doing a 13.5-hour wedding in a field in the middle of a nearby town.
Wow.
But the band was awesome. They had this amazing singer. And then I came crashing back, you know, I came back to my house and I turned on the news, and it was just like, I just wanted to cry because like, it's just like, there's just so much at this point, and it's like literally just like taking apart our government.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people's lives are going on as normal because there's not like a pandemic flu or a terror attack or, you know, and it's just, I just suddenly like that bubble of those people's joy at that wedding felt so fragile.
Yeah, it really did.
And like, I'm genuinely frightened and worried that we're going to end up with a 10 years of President Trump, and then he'll hand it over to Ivanka.
God,
and
you know,
he'll be scolding us for not being happy to have a woman president. You know, you're bad feminists if you don't like Ivanka president.
Yeah, I feel like T-Rex that you and I should be having sex in the refrigerator because you sound exactly like Kimberly. I mean, because for the last week, Kimberly's like, "Oh my God, I'm terrified."
Tease, Bob. Since 2006, you guys, Bob's been sort of dangling it like a carrot.
Off and on, yeah. I mean, we've known each other since 2006, for 13 years. That's kind of amazing. But, you know, let's talk about Bugger Off Bomb, because I don't have a decent segue to get from that to... I don't have a decent segue from having a male-on-male sex with T-Rex.
One of the issues with the wedding on Saturday night was that there was an onslaught of bugs. Right, my God,
that's right.
And boy, did I want some Bugger Off right then.
Bugger Off Bomb. Bugger Off Bomb.
I ordered some today.
Oh, you did?
I'm going to get some.
Fantastic. Yeah. BuggerOffBomb.com. Make sure you use the promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order. It is nasty chemical free. No nasty chemicals in there. Not like the store-bought bug repellents, like Off and all that crap. You don't want that. What you want is Bugger Off Bomb. It is DEET free. It is kind to humans and it's kind to the environment. You know, a couple of podcasts back, in fact, I heard from the Bugger Off Bomb people, and a couple of podcasts back, T-Rex was comparing Bugger Off Bomb to a product he was able to get in, I believe it was India, right? That had
my brother got it, yeah.
Yeah, it had eucalyptus and citronella in it. Well, guess what? Bugger Off Bomb has those exact same ingredients. And it sounds very similar to what David was describing at that point in time.
It's got to smell so good. I can't wait to get some.
Yeah, it smells clean and fresh. And it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't stink like you're wearing chemicals. And it certainly doesn't feel like you're wearing some sort, because you get that weird feeling on your skin, like, yeah, something's not right here. Bugger Off is handmade in small batches by Karen Reese in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest. And I'm happy to report that it really, really works. I have tried it. And I know T-Rex down in Georgia, the mosquitoes have to be out in full force by now.
Oh, the last couple of days have been so gorgeous. It's a little bit cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's great.
Of course, down there, don't you have the Zika problem with the mosquitoes?
Not yet, but it's coming. The mosquitoes
we've got these
here.
Weird Chinese mosquitoes that just go for your legs in the summer here. We had them last year. They were awful.
Oh, really? Are they carrying around thumb drives trying to get into Mar-a-Lago?
China!
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But not wearing a bathing suit.
Hooray for Hollywood.
That's right.
Mosquitoes go naked in Hollywood. There's always some kind of shitting counters and weird. Yeah.
So great. All right. Bugger off smells clean and fresh and it won't stain your clothing. Plus, no more mosquito bites, another line of defense against any insect-borne diseases. It's just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com. Link in the description below. But use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your whole order, your entire order. 15% off. Support this show by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug-free all summer long. Again, that's Bugger Off Bomb, BuggerOffBalm.com. Or just click the link on the podcast page, and we thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I am in charge of a delicate soul. We swept each other off our own feet. We got our nose to the grindstone, baby, and when we bang to the beat.
All right, this is well-known Strangers. The song is called Sidewalk from their Path Away EP from 2018.
I love this.
Yes, and you might be familiar with the voice, the lead singer of well-known Strangers.
Sounds so familiar.
Betsy Aid. She is on this season of The Voice. Television's The Voice, and she's currently on Team Legend. She's on John Legend's team. I don't know what that means, but it's supposed to be good. I understand it's a good
news. I love John Legend's voice.
Good news.
But her voice has got a thing that my voice has. Like, there's a certain urgency that makes it, like, you don't want to get a massage to that voice because it's, like, stirring you up, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
It's that's the kind true. Of thing you listen to at 3 in the morning, like, blasting in your headphones with all the lights out, or, like, lip-syncing in the mirror, like, you know?
Well, you know what? Betsy Aid's voice sounds a little bit to me like a cross between Alanis Morissette and Jody, your sister Carrie, when she was singing. And it's really kind of
Let's just listen to it again for a little bit.
Yeah. So good. It is so good.
It's so good.
All of this crap. All of the indie bands that have been submitted.
It's like hot, sweaty summer sidewalk music, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Those harmonies are beautiful.
Link in the description below, as I've always said, will direct you to where you can get all of the great music.
And what's her name again?
This is her name is Betsy Aid, A-D-E. I think it's pronounced
Aid. If you are listening to this, you have got a Earthstopper of a
right
voice.
Now, her video from The Voice on YouTube has attracted more than 1.2 million views as of the time it was submitted to our Indie Music Countdown show. So, yeah, so go to bobseska.com/music if you want to submit your independent music. Okay, thank you for doing that. All right, back to...
one more thing about music before I go.
Sure.
There's some voices that make great wallpaper music, like Julie Cruz on all that, like David Lynch stuff.
Yeah.
And then there are other voices that are just like, you're like sitting there drinking your coffee and they grab you by the collar. Like Etta James, you know, there's this urgency to even when she's singing about, you're like, Etta, you know, it's like she's still singing it an inch from your face and she may have a gun. Like, and that's kind of like the thing about Betsy's voice. Like, it just like it, I would capture my attention and I'd stop what I was doing wherever I was.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
What is this voice got to tell me, because it's urgent, you know?
I mean, and I've been finding that I've been listening to almost exclusively just the indie bands that have been submitted, where I'm just like, I don't know, I don't even look at my major label albums anymore, really, at least not in the past month or so, where I've just been...
this stuff sounds so much better than what's getting through the gates, you know?
Yeah, like, well, because the music industry is upside down right now. I mean, everything is fucked up, and it started, and our generation is kind of to blame with Napster and all that stuff starting up.
Well, our generation was like in the mailroom with the earbuds in, and the guys upstairs were like, tell them to take those out. Like, that's not happening here. We're not going to do that MP3 thing. Yeah. And the record companies just dinosaured themselves completely.
They did.
Right.
All they had to do is what the film industry did. You know, the film industry puts watermarks in their stuff, so if it gets out, you know it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get back into what's happening with Donald Trump right now, which is, I think Donald Trump, and I've been predicting this, and Jody, you can verify that I've been talking about this probably going back to 2016, maybe before the election, that Donald Trump was eventually going to go full Erdogan and start to use a deep state coup as a pretext to start arresting, or at least to start prosecuting and investigating his political enemies. And sure as shit, here he is this week, sadly verifying my worst forecasts about his presidency, which is now, as a result of the Mueller report, Donald Trump is now going after what he is calling treasonous behavior by the Russia investigators. They're guilty of treason and an attempted coup. I mean, he actually used those words.
Can we get a Jesse Pinkman?
Yeah, I think we should, because my God, he does keep, you know, he keeps getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Yeah.
He can't keep getting away with it.
I know, Jesse. We're so sorry. We're so sorry. But the problem is that...
I feel that, though. I feel that. Every time I hear it now...
Yeah. It's and that's still the case. And we sit here and we wait for something to happen that by rights should happen. I mean, there should be no reason why this guy is president in the first place. I mean, Kimberly and I were, in fact, talking about this morning, that it should have ended with the Serge Kovalevsky flailing. You know, back right. in, I forget if it was even 2016 yet when he did that, when he did that mocking of Serge Kovalevsky's disability. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing should have stopped right there. But now we're all the way to the point with so many of us all through those events that took place in 2015, 2016, on up through today, where we're all going, can't you all see? I mean, here he is. He's doing all of these things that we've been predicting. It's just like with WMDs. You know, we were all saying,
look. Saying he appeals. Go ahead.
We're all saying there's no WMDs. We're hearing from reliable people that there aren't any WMDs in Iraq, and that the Bush administration is fabricating this intelligence, or they're taking raw intelligence and they're inflating it into conclusive intelligence.
Right.
And that wasn't the case. And we were right about all of that crap. We were right about the forthcoming recession during the Bush years. I know, for example, Tom Hartman was predicting that there was going to be a financial calamity, you know, and this was a couple of years prior to the actual financial collapse. We are predicting these things. We are predicting what's going to happen with Donald Trump, and we're accurate about it. And now my worst fear is that Donald Trump was going to take these investigations and turn them around and use them as an excuse to start, at the very least,
a purge of everyone who will hold him to account.
Yeah, abusing his presidential power to intimidate his political enemies, using the investigatory agencies within the Department of Justice to make sure that his political enemies know that if they investigate Trump and they don't happen to catch him red-handed, that he is going to destroy them. I mean, we saw it. Did you see the IRS commissioner testifying in Congress this past week? Donald Trump's handpicked IRS commissioner.
Said, well, isn't he the head of the legal department at the IRS? Isn't that what he is?
There was also, oh man, there may have been I know who you're talking about. But
the lead counsel for the IRS.
The lead counsel, right. His name is Jim Baker. Which
right.
seems like everyone's name in Washington is Jim Baker. At some point,
yes.
we've had like 12 or 13.
At some point, there will be, yes.
Yes, 12 or 13 different Jim Bakers. But this guy, Charles Rettig, was speaking before the House Appropriations Subcommittee. And he said that there is no rule that would prohibit the release of a tax return because it's under audit.
Right.
And the funny thing about this, on top of obviously debunking once again Donald Trump's excuses for not releasing his tax returns, Charles Rettig's hands were shaking. I mean, my God, I have not seen tremors like that on a person who doesn't have Parkinson's syndrome. He was so nervous when he was asked about whether or not someone can release their tax returns while they're under audit, that he couldn't speak. He was frozen in fear, and his hands just resting in front of him on the table were just like knocking. It was like Barney Fife in the haunted house. Just like,
yeah.
I've never seen someone more nervous than that before a congressional committee. And lots of nervous people show up. I mean, people, it makes them nervous. That's really intimidating. And my dad's testified before congressional committees before, and my dad's a pretty even keeled guy, but even he was super nervous doing it because of the amount of scrutiny and the politics that are played, obviously, and the intimidating nature of it. But this guy was freaking out. And I wonder if that has to, I wonder if his freak out had to do with the fact that he was potentially throwing Trump under a bus. And all of this. And this
or incriminating himself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, but that brings us to...
here again is another instance where our eyes are telling us the truth.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And everything else is telling us lies.
Right.
There's someone at my door. I have to
and,
go
yeah,
check
please go
this.
Answer
right
the door
back.
And then tell us who it is.
Tell us who it is. Is it the pink dot?
So, Jody, let's talk about T-Rex behind his back.
Let's talk about T-Rex behind his back. terrible.
So not only was there testimony by the IRS commissioner where we got this little bit of information contradicting Donald Trump and all of his lies, at least regarding his tax returns, but we also have Steve Mnuchin testifying before the House Finance Committee.
And boy, was he rude.
Oh, my God. Well, see, to me, this contributes to my broader thesis, which is that the Trump administration is now on war footing.
Yeah.
Where they're more interested in the fight than they are in actually attaining results. They don't need to pass anything anymore because the Red Hats will be entirely satisfied as long as Donald Trump continues to fight and as long as he continues to own the libs.
I'm back.
And that's the only thing. Well, what I was saying, T-Rex. Well,
whatever T-Rex, you know, just don't tell T-Rex what we were just talking about.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
We're it's very secret.
We were talking about you while you were answering your door. Who was it, by the way? Was it anything good?
It was basically I need to declare bankruptcy before I get my first paycheck from the new job.
Oh, shit. Sure.
Garnish my wages. So,
are you in the process of doing that now?
I am now, I guess.
Wow.
I mean, it's as far as I was able to ascertain from, it was a certified letter and I just cracked it open and, you know, yeah.
It is, I will tell you this, having
hey
been
people, hey, join my Patreon, please.
Yeah, patreon.com/the T-Rex report, yeah.
Yes.
And, it, you know, join it on like $5 level if you can, please. It's just, it's bad around here.
Yeah, and I've been through that. I've been there. I did a Chapter 7 back in 2009, which will be finally expunged off of my record this year, thank God. But, you know, everyone panics when they say, oh, God, we have to do that now. But you know what? Best feeling I had in that entire fiasco was filing that and knowing that just filing it stopped the collection calls. It was the collection calls that were the most nerve-wracking. It wasn't just the debt. It was that it was all the harassment about the debt and the and the unsavory practices of the debt collectors. I mean, I remember at Christmas time 2008, this is about 6 months before I finally filed Chapter 7. I was Christmas shopping. I was at the mall, for God's sake, which is just like, for someone like me, it's just torture. I hate the mall. And I'm walking around the mall. Yeah. Just Christmas shopping and it's blazing hot and bone dry in there. And I just want to go home. And my cell phone rings. I answer the cell phone and it's one of my creditors, or at least someone from one of my creditors, or maybe someone affiliated with one of the creditors, saying that if I don't pay all of the money that I owe them within the next week, they will show up at my house and take all of my possessions, and which is a complete lie, which is absolutely not a legal thing. You can't just do that. There are all kinds of legal things that you have to go through in order to reach that point. So, but that's just an example of the kind of shit that was going on. And because most of my debt was business debt, it was a lot of debt. I mean, it was a lot of lines of credit and things like that, things that people do when they want to keep a business afloat on credit. But once my lawyer filed that first set of documents, my phone didn't fucking ring again for, you know, unless it was like my mom or something. No more of that awfulness. And I knew that at some point soon, boom, all of that debt was just going to go and just disappear. Poof.
The thing about it is I can't shake this feeling that I've done something wrong.
You have not.
Life.
You have not.
And all
you
I
have
did
not.
Was, you know, I had a medical emergency, which is responsible for like 89% or something, or even higher of the bankruptcies declared in this country. And it was, you know, and lost my job, which my health insurance was dependent on. So now I'm broke and in debt and don't have any health insurance. And guess what? You know, the stress of it is making me have chest pains.
Are you okay? Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, it's just stressful, you know?
I know. And you know what? But you're not alone. Don't forget that you're not alone.
Yeah.
There have been so many of us, and I'm sure lots of people listening to us right now have been through this exact same scenario, certainly over the last 10 years. And right now, for those of us who are in digital publishing, there is a recession happening in digital publishing where, and I was going to save this for the postmortem show, but the fact of the matter is that Facebook and to a certain extent, the broader scope of social media has destroyed digital publishing. So if you're a blogger, an opinion journalist, or a journalist, you are going through a period of time right now where there is no money. I mean, at this point, I'm fairly certain, for example, that I am the highest traffic getter on salon.com right now. But the fact is that my fee has been rolled back and rolled back because there's just no money anymore, because Facebook has blocked all of these digital publications from actually promoting their work on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that was when it was happening. And it's the same with the Daily Banter. The reason why the Daily Banter became the Banter and is now a newsletter is because Facebook basically drove all of these digital publications off the internet. There are some that have survived, and that's great. But for the most part, we're looking at massive layoffs across the board. Everyone's being fired. And because there are so many people out there who have been recently fired by these major publications, like the Huffington Post, for example, good luck finding a job. Get in line, because there's just a long goddamn line of people who also lost their jobs.
And the thing is that the people who can get the jobs are people who already have money and live in New York City and D.C. and have trust funds and stuff.
Yeah.
Can do the jobs for super cheap or as interns. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us, like, who live out here in the sticks and can't afford to just up and move to the city, it's just impossible.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's tough.
But, I mean, you just joined a new network. We should probably tell people that, I don't always cry on the show.
No, you're not Stephanie Miller, who cries all the time on the radio.
Well, you know, Kimberly cried on her show yesterday, also for good reason. Well, yeah, I mean, she had a guest on her podcast, patreon.com/startmeup, where she was interviewing a woman whose daughter has severe birth defects. And so this woman is trying to conduct outreach using social media to other mothers who have children with birth defects. And so she's posted some pictures of her daughter. And as a result, you know, people jump into this woman's comments and mm-hmm. scream at her for not killing her daughter. Like, oh, you should have let her die.
Oh my God.
I mean, the most horrible fucking thing. I mean, here.
People have
the
weirdest
Facebook.
Sense of entitlement about how you should raise
it's amazing.
Your kids or your animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you've known some of your listeners are familiar with what's, you know, the war that's being waged at me from across the street.
Mm-hmm. With your cats, yeah.
Yeah.
And you just decided to take in more feral cats.
Well, okay, here's the deal.
I'm sorry, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Air. I know. Okay, I will cut that out.
I'll just say very quickly. I'm sending her a letter today, very politely offering her two options. Okay. One, my husband and I can help her research and implement humane ways of cat-proofing her yard,
mm-hmm.
which is what she should have done to begin with.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or we're going to finish the process of registering our house and ourselves as takers of a feral cat colony. There's a feral cat colony on the east side of town with like 16, maybe 20 cats that's too close to a major roadway. They're vulnerable to predation by coyotes and packs of dogs. We'd move my cats inside and we would let the ferals come live in our yard, which would mean she wouldn't just have one or two of my four cats out for half the day. She would have 16 to 20 cats outside 24 hours a day. So she can make her decision.
Yeah, there you go.
The question is, how does she know it's your cats that are killing her birds? Are your cats bringing her these birds?
I don't think they've even killed any birds. She just says they hunt the birds that come to her feeder.
Yeah, well, they're cats.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
that's what they do.
I did tell you about the giant freak out I had when I went full T-Rex when the animal control person did show up.
Yeah. It's like this.
Exactly. It was just like, not super proud of it, but at the same time, we definitely set up a good cop, bad cop thing with me and the husband.
Someone jumped out of a car with a flare and is like trying to distract you. Over here, T-Rex, over here, chase me instead.
Purple smoke. T-Rex down. Pop purple smoke. Yeah.
All right. You know what? Let's reset with another commercial break and we'll come back and get back into the full Erdogan right after these words.
Great.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place one bathtub at a time. That's bubblegenius.com.
Bob Seska.
It's a no-go, it's a no-go. It's the bitter truth.
This is St. Marlboro, Chicago's own St. Marlboro, from their O Friend album, stmarlboro.bandcamp.com, link in the description below. Their slogan is playing country punk and punk country. I love the wonderfully organic throwback sound of this this record.
Reminds me of the Replacements in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I love the big reverb and the sort of the throwback 70s organic AOR, like album-oriented rock sound. Just love that. Alt-country. I mean, that's how they bill themselves as alt-country. I think it's great. Again, St. Marlboro from the Pathway EP. Or not wrong album. It's from the O Friend album. The Pathway EP was the other band, Well-Known Strangers. Okay, before we wrap up the show, I want to get back into this thing where Donald Trump is basically throwing down and threatening to arrest or at least to investigate his political enemies. And Bill Barr confirmed this yesterday before the Senate. What was it? The Senate Appropriations Committee, was it? Mm-hmm. And oh my God,
Jody knows. Of course, Jody knows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Bill Barr. First of all. I mean, once again, Jody, Bill Barr refused to answer this question. And you know, you do it once and maybe he just didn't want to answer the question. It happens twice and you go, maybe this is a thing. Maybe he doesn't want to answer this question. And the question was, in both committees, on the House side and on the Senate side, Bill Barr was asked, has the White House been briefed on the Mueller report or has it read the Mueller report? And of course, Bill Barr, in that almost creepily reassuring tone, goes, I don't want to answer your question now. And you go, oh shit. And right,
really you mean good. Ugly Tom Bosley, like you guys
he's
said
the ugly day. Tom. That's right, I love that. He is the ugly Tom Bosley. And so that was the case again yesterday. We also learned that Mueller's people are doing the redacting of the report.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that coming from Barr. I'll believe that when Adam Schiff believes it. You know, I'm not buying a word out of his mouth.
I understand that it's important that we follow it, I guess, but my brain is bleeding. It's just too much at this point. When is it going to stop?
I know.
Well, didn't I
know.
I read a story? Wasn't there a story reported yesterday that they are going to have Mueller come up to with the Intelligence Committee and perhaps Judiciary? And testify to his knowledge of the report. I seem to have read that yesterday.
Well, he has to. And you know, and if they get Bill Barr before the Intelligence Committee, Bill Barr can introduce himself by saying,
"Hello, I'm Tom Bosley."
There we go. Thank you. I was desperate to find that. I didn't have that queued up, and I needed to quickly find.
"Hello, I'm Tom Bosley."
He sounds like that too. Bill Barr sounds like Tom Bosley.
He does a little bit. You're right.
Looks like Tom Bosley. Sounds like Tom Bosley is an asshole like Donald Trump. That's the only big difference.
Or Dick Cheney.
Yeah, but the other thing,
the Dick Cheney thing is like I love that clip you played from Vice.
Oh my God, it's totally Dick Cheney. He is using the same technique that Dick Cheney used to snow the entire Bush administration, to basically and the Ford administration before that, and the George H.W. Bush administration on top of all that. I mean, he has that measured tone where he can just scam anyone. He can convince anyone to do anything just by saying, "Well, you know, I'm just not going to answer your questions, and go fuck yourself, and you can stick your question back in the same hole from whence it came." And so that's basically...
Because I'm a serious white man.
Because I'm so serious,
and
right?
I'm speaking in ways that end at the end of the sentence going down.
"Hello, I'm Tom Bosley."
Right.
See?
But I mean, you know what else? The other thing that he said, and again, there are so many things that all this shit gets lost, but he also said that the White House is going to review the report in case there are issues of executive privilege. He is going to let the White House check the report for executive privilege. And to me, that is game over. I mean, already I'm expecting, you know, a rainbow colored series of redactions that are just going to Swiss cheese the whole goddamn thing. But now on top of that, the Trump White House, which is in increasingly...
But they'll fuck it up. If you put it under certain filters, I'm sure you'll be able to read at least half the redactions. I mean, everything, you know...
Yeah, maybe they'll have Paul Manafort's lawyer do it, because his redactions were really easy to uncover.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's what I'm talking about.
Maybe they'll do that. And that would be awesome. We'll be so lucky if that actually happens. But I mean, as if that wasn't all enough, and we'll wrap up on this note, because we need to get into the postmortem show here in a second. But Bill Barr also said... in addition to saying,
"Hello, I'm Tom Bosley,"
Bill Barr also said that the government spied on the campaign.
Oh God, that yeah.
No.
And of course,
no. That was only, when I turned off Rachel Maddow last night.
Yeah,
and,
well,
I just made a pot of chili. I did. I was just like, fuck this. I'm making chili. It's the middle of the night. I'm not even going to eat any. I'm just going to make it so it'll be good tomorrow, because I can't.
Chili is the answer to every problem. I've said that since the day. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But anyway, so, but I mean, this is kind of terrifying that Bill Barr is going to investigate the investigators. And, you know, what's strange is, they're saying that, and this is Donald Trump and all the red hats are saying that the FBI pursued these investigations without having any evidence. They spied on people without any evidence. But here we have Bill Barr going out and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to investigate the investigators, but we don't have any evidence leading us to believe that they did anything wrong.
Hello, I'm Tom Bosley.
Yeah, and that's what he's doing. Yeah, I mean, he's doing the thing that he's criticizing the investigators about. Mm-hmm. You know, and all he's got to do, and this is what's so insane about these ridiculous and superficial and unnecessary investigations triggered by Donald Trump, is that we know all of this. We know why the investigation started. We know that it was Carter Page talking out of school to so-and-so, and what they want to hear, what Donald Trump wants to hear more than anything else, is that this entire report was based on the bogus Steele dossier. And I'm using his terminology.
Right.
I don't think it's entirely bogus. I think, you know, I mean, and what we also know, speaking of the allegedly bogus Steele dossier, I mean, Richard Burr's Senate Intelligence Committee has already said that the Steele dossier has been reconstructed by their committee up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence Committee has verified sections, I'll be conservative about this, sections of the Steele dossier. And yet Donald Trump still goes around calling it a fake dossier.
Mm-hmm. And none of it has actually been proven wrong. They just haven't been able to.
Right.
Yeah, it's not 100% verified. It's just nothing has been debunked out of it.
Yeah.
Everything that's been proven has been proven to be true. And that, again, the investigation started because of George Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos, yeah.
Papadopoulos.
Oh, was it Papadopoulos? It was Papadopoulos, and for some reason I was thinking Carter Page. Did I say?
I think that was a parallel timeline going on.
Yeah,
because Papadopoulos is who gave up the information to the Australian guy, and so the Australian guy called our guys, and he's like, "Dudes, you got to look into this," and that's what started it. The dossier was originally paid for by GOP operatives to get dirt on Trump.
Why wasn't Carter Page indicted? I still don't understand.
I thought
this.
He was.
Was he?
Because he's just so dumb. I want Lena Dunham to write the screenplay because he really is like Carter Page is like if Hannah from Girls got involved in international espionage. He does not know when to stop talking. Mm-hmm. Like he just is so excited that the camera is pointed at him and that he's getting attention that he just doesn't even remember what he's not supposed to say and he just sits there and falls apart on camera.
Yeah,
and it's just like. If you think about, I don't know, I used to love the series Girls, and I think Lena Dunham should get off Twitter because she says stupid things and gets a bad rap. Yeah. When I watched her at the gynecological appointment where she just won't stop talking and the gynecologist is getting more and more uncomfortable, and I'm like, the problem with Hannah is that Hannah doesn't know when to stop talking.
That's right.
And I am the same way. And so I feel that with Carter Page. Like he just doesn't, it's just the fact that all this fuss is about him, just he gets all lightheaded and gets the vapors and just like begins to just babble.
Well, I wonder if they turned him and he's just working for us now.
I don't know,
you know
but
what
I mean
we got to go to the after show, folks, or Uncle David's going to have to leave really
oh,
fast.
Oh, yeah, but no, I mean, you have a good point, Jody, and from what I can tell, no, he was not indicted. I'm
looking at
that
too,
now.
Yeah. They just think he was an agent for Russia, so maybe they've turned him back and he's working on, who knows?
Yeah, that could be too. But he also did take a bit of a victory lap after the bar memo came out. So just like all the rest of them, he was kind of saying, hey, look at us. We're free now. We didn't do anything wrong. Meanwhile, I just want to mention this on the free show. That stupid Lou Dobbs thing and Donald Trump retweeting it as if it's real. Like Lou Dobbs mistakenly said that Trump's overall approval rating was 55%. Not even Rasmussen has him anywhere close to that. In fact, what 55% was his disapproval number.
Oh, God. They got upside down.
And I assure you, Donald Trump will not take that tweet down. He will not remove that tweet, even though it's got false information on it. In fact, he'll keep it up just because it does have false information on it.
They want to watch the liberals scramble for the facts.
I wanted to mention this, too. This came up earlier, but it bears mentioning still now that... that Donald Trump supporters, according to this new Politico piece, is Inside Trump's Truly Bizarre Visit to Mount Vernon. There's a quote in here. It says, Donald Trump supporters don't care. And if anything, they enjoy the fact that the liberal snobs are upset that he doesn't know much history.
Exactly. So this is, love it. Well, they love it when we go scrambling for the dictionary or the... you know, the historical textbooks to be like, this is wrong because he's making us jump. He's pulling our string. We'll talk about it on the F show.
They just want the fight. That's all they want. All right. So let's see some plugs here at the end of the show. The From the Bunker podcast can now be heard on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. It can also be heard at from-the-bunker.com. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, and every place where great podcasts are heard. T-Rex's podcast, The T-Rex Report, can be found at patreon.com/TheTRexReport. Link in the description below. You can find it there. Go and support T-Rex and his podcast, yay, even though he didn't post anything yet this week, but we won't hold that against him.
Sorry.
Tomorrow morning.
Stephanie Miller shows at stephaniemiller.com. We're still working on a good link to talk about because it's hard to say, well, go to this/this/this/this.
Right.
But we're working on a dedicated link for the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, and I think sexyliberal.com is going to be ultimately where it lands.
Probably,
I don't know
yeah.
for sure. Have a great weekend, folks. After party is happening tomorrow on our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.